This morning I want to talk to you something very simple, but just a truth that the Lord has been using to encourage me in my prayer life. You know, I teach here at Summit School of Ministry, and during the summertime, when the students have gone for their summer break, that's when I know the Lord really pours back into my life and pours back into the hearts of the staff here. And it's just a ministry time for us to rebuild us. And the Lord has just been encouraging me in my prayer life with just simple nuggets out of the Bible. And I just want to share something with you today. I want to talk to you about the hope of prayer. The hope of prayer. I want to go to two passages of Scripture. Go with me to Romans 15 and then Genesis chapter 24. Romans 15. Genesis chapter 24. You're probably going to be hearing a lot of messages out of Genesis for the summer, because that's where I'm at with my devotions with the Lord. He just has me reading and praying through the book of Genesis. And so we might be there all summer long. I don't know. The hope of prayer. We're going to begin with Romans chapter 15. I'm going to look at one verse, and that's verse 13. Verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope," and I really want to emphasize that title for the Lord, "Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace and believing." That, beloved, the Lord is the God of hope, and the only thing He can offer His people is hope. He can't offer them discouragement. He can't offer them hopelessness. The only thing that He can offer His people is hope, because He's the God of hope. Now, look with me at Genesis chapter 24, and we're going to start with verse 63. It says, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening time, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's house, into his mother's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Amen. The hope of prayer. Let's just take a moment to pray. Lord, we love You this morning. And Father, I just want to take a moment just to ask for Your help. This is just a very simple truth that I know You've opened up to my heart. You've caused me to see something in this story that's just been an encouragement to my prayer life. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that this morning You would just encourage our life of prayer. Nourish our life of prayer by Your word this morning. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in this story, we see that Isaac is still affected by his mother's death. She has been deceased. The scriptures tell us she has been deceased for 3 years now. But there's still a deep sorrow in Isaac's heart. There's still a despondency that's weighing upon his heart. And the Bible tells us that this particular day, Isaac was out in the field meditating. And the word meditate there in the actual Hebrew language, it actually means focused prayer. It means concentrated prayer, concentrated prayer. So we see that Isaac had a prayer life with God. That his father Abraham's testimonies and his father Abraham's walk with God and experiences with God cultivated the desire in Isaac's heart to walk with God. And Isaac had a prayer life with God. And the Bible says that as Isaac was in the field praying, he looked up and he saw Abraham's servant returning, and with him was Rebekah, his soon-to-be wife. And what I want us to keep note of is that Rebekah represents something. Rebekah represents life. Rebekah represents the covenant promises of God. Rebekah represents the hope that is in the covenant promises of God. You see, it would be through Rebekah's life that the promises God made Abraham, the covenant promises that God spoke to Abraham, would continue to flourish and go forward in the earth. It would be through Rebekah's life. And I do want to mention that Isaac soon married Rebekah, and in the love that they shared together, Isaac found comfort and he found a renewed desire to get on with his life. In the love that they shared together, Isaac found comfort and he found a renewed desire to one more time to begin to move forward in the things that God had for his life. In other words, his time of mourning was over. Now, in all this, there's something about prayer that the Lord showed me that was just really encouraging to my heart, and I just want to share it with you today. And I want to begin by simply saying this. Listen, there is such an intimate connection with God in prayer that when a believer has truly cultivated a prayer life with God, they begin to experience something that's very beautiful, and that's simply this, that there is an intimate connection with the heart of God in prayer. There is an intimacy that you begin to find with God in prayer. And though there's a few reasons we can talk about why there's such an intimate transaction with God in prayer, there's really one that's on my heart, and I just want to share it with you today. Like Isaac in the field, looking up and seeing Rebekah draw near, in the place of prayer, the Lord will always cause your heart to look up and see something of promise, see something of hope, see something of comfort. In whatever trial you are in, whatever circumstance you are facing, in those private times with God in prayer and His Word, the tenderness of the Spirit of God comes, and He just causes your heart to look up and see something that's going to bring encouragement. That's what I know I found in a prayer life with God, and I know many of you have found it, that those times that you just go into those private places with God in prayer, especially in times where something's weighing on your heart or you're walking through with something, God will always meet you and cause you to see something that has promise, cause you to see something that has hope. Beloved, God is never going to leave you without hope. The conditions you are facing may be difficult, but God is always going to have something to show you. God is always going to have something to speak to you. God will always have something for you to look up and see and cause you to keep trusting in His goodness in your life. Amen. You know, she's with us today, and I don't want to embarrass my wife, but I do want to say this, that my wife amazes me. She amazes me because she has such an intimate prayer life with God. I'm telling you, she is a woman of prayer. And like every believer, the 10 years that we have been married, there's been times that we've walked through uncertainties. There's been times that we walked through trials. There have been times that we've walked through perplexities. There's just been those times. But beloved, time and time again, she has come out of the prayer closet with such a strength in her heart. She's come out of the prayer closet with such a strength on her countenance. Because in that place of prayer, God caused her to look up and see something of hope, see something of promise. And beloved, I want to tell you something. That has been the strength of our souls to walk through some things. You know, there was a time we went through a trial that lasted over a year. And I'm telling you, it was a very long year. There were times that fears and doubts tried to overshadow our hearts and tried to overtake our hearts with discouragement and with doubt and with fear. But there was just those strategic times when the Lord would meet us in a place of prayer. And we would come out of that place of prayer and we would sit down together and we would begin to share the things that God was speaking and the things that God was showing us. And it was as if Jesus himself had came and stood in our midst and was speaking to us. I'm telling you, the presence of the Lord filled the room and the peace of God filled our hearts. And beloved, it was the supernatural life in prayer and the Word of God that caused us to pass through in hope. Amen. And I believe the Lord is just here to encourage our prayer life today. That is our lifeline. Amen. Now there's something else I want us to see in this story. I want you to look with me at verse 64. We're in Genesis chapter 24. And look with me at verse 64. Verse 64 says, "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel." So now I want us to see that Rebekah lifting up her eyes, and when she sees Isaac coming, she quickly climbs off the camel. Now listen, that can seem like a very light thing, that can seem like a very insignificant thing, but studying this out, I found out something in studying this out. What she was doing is she was honoring Isaac. You see, when she asked the servant, "Who is this coming?" And the servant said, "This is the master of the house who is coming." If she would have continued to sat on the camel, that would have been a sign of disrespect. So she quickly climbs off the camel to honor him. And the Bible also says that she took a veil and she placed it over her face. And beloved, that was another act of honor. That was another act of honor. You see, back in those days, often when a woman accepted a man's proposal for marriage, she would put a veil over her face, signifying her pledge and her devotion to that man. So we see that right away, Rebekah is honoring Isaac. And beloved, my point is simply this. God knows how to place his honor upon a man and a woman of prayer. He knows how to place his honor upon them. You know, I think about people of prayer in the Bible. You know, I think about Abraham. You know, Abraham felt a call from God in his heart to go to battle, in a battle where he was horrendously outnumbered. But he follows the leading of the Lord in his heart, and he goes to this battle, and he wins this battle. And on his way back from the battle, the high priest of the Lord comes and presents to him bread and wine. Beloved, that was God setting his honor upon Abraham's life. When the high priest himself came out and presented wine and presented bread to Abraham, I know his heart had to fill up with a sense of God's honor upon his life. I think about Samuel, tremendous man of prayer. And the Bible says, there's a verse in the Bible that says that God came, the Lord came and stood next to Samuel. Listen, when the Lord came and stood next to Samuel, he was saying to Samuel this, "Samuel, for the rest of your life and the rest of your ministry, I'm going to stand beside you." I have to know there were times in his life where he felt the presence of the Lord standing beside him and the incredible sense of the honor that God placed upon his life. You know, I think about Daniel. An angel came to Daniel and said, "Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved of God. If that don't melt your heart with a sense of the honor of the Lord." And then I think about Mary. The Lord's word to Mary was simply this, "Mary, highly favored and blessed of the Lord art thou." I have to know in my heart, there had to be private times before Jesus was born that those words rang in her heart and those words rang in her mind, and she humbly sensed the honor of God upon her life. And beloved, God knows how to place his honor upon our lives. He knows how to bring that sense to our hearts that we've honored Him, we've exalted Him, we've glorified Him, and now He is honoring our life. And I'm telling you, when you have those moments where you truly sense the honor of God upon your life, them are strengthening times, and them are encouraging times. God knows how to place His honor upon the life of a praying man and woman. Amen. Now, let's just have a quick summary. The title of the message is The Hope of Prayer. That there is such an intimate connection with God in prayer, an intimacy with God that only a prayer life can give you. And one of the reasons why is because it's in our times of prayer that God causes the eyes of our heart to lift up and see something with life and see something with encouragement. That God's not going to leave His people in time of trial comfortless, but He will lift up the eyes of our heart and show us something of His goodness and His faithfulness in our lives. Amen. Amen. Now, right here, there's something the Lord wants us to see, and it's this. There is a common enemy to a life of consistent prayer. When you have a prayer life with God, may I be bold to say, when you have a daily prayer life with God, there is a common enemy that everyone faces, but we have to remember that God is greater than the common enemy. Let me show you that. Look with me at Genesis chapter 26. Look with me at verse 18. It says, "And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped him after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah." So here in these scriptures, we see Isaac is digging wells. And no sooner has he got them dug that the enemy comes in with adversity. He digs a well, and the battle comes. He digs another well, and the battle comes. And he digs a well, and the battle comes. And beloved, my point is simply this. There is a season in Isaac's life where he found himself fighting the same battle over and over again. There was a season in Isaac's life where he must have felt he was fighting the same battle over and over again. And beloved, so often when we find ourselves fighting the same battle over and over again, the temptation is to become discouraged and quit and give up. The temptation is to just tell ourselves, what's the use? No matter how much I pray, this isn't going to change. No matter how much I pray, there's not going to be a true breakthrough in this area, no matter how much I pray. Beloved, I think we all have at least one battle that we feel like we're fighting over and over again. And so often in that one battle, such a discouragement can come in, and there can come something in the heart that says, well, what's the use? But beloved, God is saying today that He is greater than the enemy of discouragement, not to cast away our confidence, not to cast away our hope, and not to cast away our prayer life. The battle may not be over in one night, the breakthrough may not come overnight, but while we are waiting in our times of prayer, God is going to be faithful to show us something of hope and encouragement to strengthen us until the breakthrough finally comes. Amen. Don't cast away your hope in the Lord. And don't cast away your prayer life. Because it's in that time of prayer, He's going to lift up your heart and show you something of hope and promise and encouragement and say, keep going till you see the breakthrough come. Amen. Now, ultimately, here's where our message is going to. Yes, there will be battles and trials, but every one of us have a great destiny. God is leading every one of us to the same place because it's all of our destiny. So then what is that destiny? Look with me at chapter 26, verse 13, talking about Isaac. I love this verse. Verse 13, chapter 26 says, "And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great." And Isaac waxed great and he went forward and grew and became very great. Beloved, this is God's design for all of our lives, that we would continue to go forward in the Lord and grow and become very great in God and the things of God. To become very great in the intimate knowledge of God. To become very great in the character of God. To become very great in the humility and strength of God. To become very great in all the spiritual blessings of God. And beloved, my point is this. We are all on a journey toward greatness. And battles and trials all have a purpose in this journey. And so much of the life and strength and hope and the encouragement to stay upon this journey of greatness is in our prayer life. It's in the places of prayer God will be faithful to show us something of hope that will encourage our hearts to keep going in the things of God. The prayer life. What a wonderful destiny. We're all on that path. It's called the journey to greatness. Great in the things of God. Trials and hardships are all a part of the journey of greatness. And where does the encouragement and the hope and the strength come from? A lot of it comes from the prayer life. And I just really feel today that the Lord is just encouraging our prayer life. Not to let up, not to slack up. For those who work at summer Bible school, we're here. The summer break has come. But maintaining the life of prayer is so important. The encouragement that comes, the revelation that comes, is so important. And to guard it. And here's what I want to conclude with. And it is a cautionary. It is a warning from the Lord. I feel like the Lord would have me sit on it very gently. I don't feel like He wants me to be strong with this. So I'm just going to sit on it very gently. But please do receive it from the Lord. It is a cautionary for us. Understand, the enemy wants a believer's prayer life. He wants the life that is in prayer. He wants the power that is found in prayer. He wants to render a believer's prayer life ineffective, unproductive, fruitless. And it's unfortunate, but he has often been very successful. Listen, if you've walked with God for any amount of time, you can look at believers who started strong. But somewhere they lost their prayer life. They lost their connection with God. And they live in a spiritual poverty, spiritual poverty. Not saying physical poverty, but a spiritual poverty. He has been successful. Beloved, and I want to show you one of the reasons why. Look at chapter 26 and look at verse 15. "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped him and filled them with earth." So what I want us to see here is in verse 15, there are wells in verse 15. And these wells can represent many things. These wells can represent your own heart. But in this message, the well is representative of our prayer life with the Lord. The Bible says that the enemy comes and stops these wells up. So in other words, the water is still there. It's not, the water isn't extinct because of drought. The water is still there. The life is still there. But the enemy came in and stopped the wells up. And how did the enemy stop the wells up? Look at verse 15 again. And just look at verse 18 again. Okay, verse 15. It says, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistine, had stopped them and filled them with earth." And I'm emphasizing that very last word, earth. He filled them with earth. Let me ask you a question. What does earth represent? It represents the world. It represents worldliness. Worldliness. It represents allowing compromise into your walk with God. It represents worldliness. Beloved, here's what the Lord is saying today. Guard the sanctity of your prayer life. We know what the worldly things are that dishonor God. We know what is dishonoring to the Lord and what isn't. We know what is wholesome and what isn't. We know what is clean and what isn't. We know what is virtuous and what isn't. Guard the life of your prayers by guarding your heart. Amen. Be very easy for me to begin to talk about compromise. But I feel the restraining hand of the Lord upon me right now. Tim, just sit on it softly. They already know what's worldly and what's not. They already know the movies that's worldly and what's not. They already know the entertainment that's worldly and what's not. Guard your prayer life. Get a Daniel resolve. I will not let that Babylonian culture corrupt me. I will walk with the Lord in godliness. And if God says it's compromise, it's compromise. If God says, why pay $10 to see it? I'm not in agreement with it. Then God is not in agreement with it. Amen. It'll suck your well dry. Amen. All right, Lord. Stand with me this morning.